All right, today's message, I have a title for you. It's called Turn. Turn. I heard that word not too long ago, and it's like that kind of stuck to me. So I'm going to share about turning. Okay? Turn. And this one, a lot of our stuff is in storage, so I wasn't able to pull out my Strong's Concordance. In a place that I looked, it said turn was used 246 times in the Old Testament and 25 times in the New Testament. There's a lot about return in the Word of God. The first place it's used in one thing I was looking at is Leviticus 19, verse 4. It says, do not turn to idols. Do not turn to idols. God knows what he says and he means what he says. And ain't that like the first commandment also? Have no graven images. Have none before me, says God. Do not turn to idols. One of the last places it's used is in Revelation 11, verse 6. It's about the two witnesses. And they have power to turn water into blood. The two witnesses that end up dying, if you know the story, these two witnesses die, are killed, and the whole world looks on them for 3 days. These two witnesses. You know, what's the purpose of these two witnesses? God's given them a job to do. He's given them authority. He's given them authority to turn water into wine and to bring plagues upon the earth as they wish. These witnesses can do that whenever they want to. Let's turn there. Revelation 11, 6. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy, and they have power over waters to turn to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire, as often as these two witnesses desire. It says, when they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them, and their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into the graves. Everybody, every tribe, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days. When this was written, that would be hard-fetched for that to happen. But today, through television, through social media, that can be done. Everybody that has anything, and, you know, there's a lot of people in other countries that you would think they would have, you know, priority on things. Well, they might not have nothing, but they have a smartphone. But they might not have anything else as far as material things. They're out in the rice fields and they got these smartphones. So there's people and tribes can see this happening, see these two witnesses being dead for 3.5 days just laying around. But these witnesses had a plan and a purpose, and they're given authority. They have a job to do, and yet one of them things, they're going to be overcome and killed. That was their purpose. Wow, that was God's plan for them. What's God's plan for us? I think he has a good and prosperous plan. A plan for you to prosper. That was a memory verse, wasn't it? Where's that at? To give you an expected end. We know God loves us, Jesus loves us, and God has a plan for our life. Let's go to Matthew 6:39. We're going to looking mostly at the New Testament, where it says turn in the New Testament. There's a few in the Old Testament, in the Psalms and Proverbs. There's a lot of good things, you know, a lot of wisdom in the Proverbs. You know how people would like to get turn us astray, but we're not to turn to them. Matthew 6. I got wrote down Matthew 6, 39, but there ain't no 39, is it? It's about not resisting an evil person. Matthew 5:39. Matthew 5, verse 39, but I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. And we've all heard that one, ain't we? The world will tell us that one, won't they? Turn the other cheek. Even the world knows that precept. It says, do not resist an evil person. So, us living our lives before God, is it up to us to discern when an evil person is, not to resist? You know, I kind of think it is, you know, not to pass judgment, because we're not supposed to judge, right? Well, didn't Jesus say judge righteously? So what's the scripture talking about when it says not to resist an evil person? If someone breaks into your home and going to harm your family, are you supposed to not resist them? No, you're supposed to resist them. You're supposed to take care of your family. You're supposed to protect the innocent and protect those. When it says, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. I kind of, what I'm seeing in this, I may be wrong. God will show you how you're supposed to operate in this, but it's kind of like at work. I don't work in a Christian environment with Christian people. I work in a shop environment with good people and with heathens and drug addicts. People get belligerent. And I'm there working with them, trying to get along with them best I can. You know, I'm not to resist them. I should love them and show them the love of Christ. When you get wronged, you get wronged. You know, that's part of it in life. That's what, where it talks about resisting an evil person, that's kind of what I'm seeing there. But, you know, we should turn the other cheek, show them the love of Christ. But when it comes time to, you know, protect yourself, protect others, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, we're not, I don't think we're supposed to be a doormat and let everybody walk on us and stomp on us. If that's what Christ called you to do, then you have the freedom to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to take care of my family and protect them. If I'm wrong, I guess I'll repent later, huh? Matthew 7, verse 6. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. So don't resist an evil person, but yet don't cast your pearls before swine. And while we're talking about work associates, there's some people there that you can share the gospel with. There's some people there that as you share, I mean, you give an example of your life. That's a testimony right there. But there's some things you just, you may not engage in conversation and blatantly witness to them because they're just going to take that and trample that under their feet like a swine would, and then turn and tear you to pieces with it, with their mouth, with their tongue. And when they do, love them, turn the other cheek toward them, but God will give us the wisdom not to cast the pearls before swine. When to do that, when to not. That's as the Holy Spirit shows you to. I just assume to witness to anybody. Let the results be what they are. But, because Jesus come and died for everybody. And everybody deserves to hear the gospel. And everybody deserves the love of Christ. This reminds me of something in my thoughts and going through. There was something that happened. I think it was kind of an unjust thing. I don't remember the details what it was. It was something I seen or read, or somebody said something about, and it's like my thought, my heart was like, well, they don't deserve that. No one deserves that. And I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was kind of like my thoughts was like, nobody deserves that. And then it was like, my thought was like one step further, like, nobody deserves that. And then it's just like it went too far in my mind, and then this, the truth meter kicked in. And it says, the truth meter says, no, everybody deserves hell because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's only by the mercy of God, by the blood of Christ, that we can be washed in his blood and cleansed and reconciled to God. We talk about good people. We know good people, but what did Jesus say when they called him good? Jesus said, there's no one good except the Father in heaven. And so for whoever Jesus here, which is perfect, is saying there's nobody good except the God in heaven, we're all sinners that need to be saved, right? It's good to know Jesus and be washed in his blood and given the opportunity to repent and love him, that we could turn from our sins to be made right in his eyes. Luke 1, verse 17. This is John the Baptist. He says, he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the father to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So John the Baptist come like the spirit of Elijah, which there's significance in that spirit of Elijah, because in the Passover festival, we set a plate for Elijah. There's a door that's open to look and see if Elijah's there at the door. Well, that was John the Baptist coming, the spirit of Elijah, to prepare the way of Jesus. Turn the hearts of the father to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. To turn the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. And God has that for us also, as we share Christ with others, that the disobedient will come to the wisdom of the just. You are just people. You are made right, made whole, made just before the eyes of God, by the power of his blood. Luke 21:13. I need to go there. I need to share this a little bit and read here. Luke 21, verse 13. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. What's he saying here? Let's back up verse 10. And he said unto them, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, famines, pestilence, and there will be fearful sights and great signs in heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Sometimes we don't know how things turn out. Sometimes we go through stuff just so it will be an occasion for us to give a testimony. And they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death. You know, things like that could be a little scary, but to live in Christ, as Christ, to die is gain, right? As long as we get to live and share the word of God and share our testimony of what Jesus done for us with others, that's just more fruit for the kingdom of God that we can produce for God that's going to change heaven, it's going to change earth. But if we die, to die is gain, because then we'll be with glory, in glory with Jesus, right? I'm not scaring nobody, am I? Some things happen to us for an occasion for testimony. That's how things turn out sometimes. Sometimes I'd rather not go through them things and learn them things, huh? Bad cars or new cars. I had to learn what a bad car was like to give a testimony of what a good car is like and how God brought that about. We like the testimony, we like the end result. We don't like going through that fire sometimes. That gets kind of trying, doesn't it? It gets our emotions up and down. And then when we get in them places where our emotions are going up and down, then our friends and foe kind of crosses, you know, who's our friend, who's our enemy? You know, your spouse ain't your enemy, your children's not your enemy, but sometimes that line gets blurred a little bit, and because you're going through this over here, you might take it out on people over here. Well, we're people. Things like that happen. We need to repent, turn to God, right? Ask for forgiveness. Repent to one another. Repentance ain't just a thing between us and God. Repentance is a thing between each other. It can be man to God, man to man, God to man. Has God ever said he was sorry? He has nothing to be sorry for. But did he kind of do that with, well, that was more of a promise, the rainbow was, after the flood. He just kind of gave that as a symbol and said that the earth will not be destroyed with water again. Sometimes when it rains, we question that, don't we? But it's, he will not destroy the earth with water again. Has God ever said he was sorry? Maybe to himself? Makes you think, doesn't it? God's wrath, he could relent from his wrath, pouring out his wrath, you know, as the saints, intercessors pray. You know, he told Abraham that he wasn't going to destroy Sodom if there was 50 righteous and 10 and all that, and got down to a few, but there wasn't no one righteous. Think about Noah. Why didn't he destroy Noah with the rest of the world? Noah was righteous in his generation. He was one that was still walking in righteousness before God, that hadn't turned to these sins that was there during the day. I need to turn back to what we have here today, don't I? I'm getting off. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Let's go to Acts 14. Acts 14, verse 15. We got Paul and Barnabas here. and they're preaching in Lystra, I think that's how you say that, and they heal a man's feet. And the people called them gods and wanted to sacrifice to them, but they preached to the people that they should turn from their useless things and turn to the living God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that were in them. Verse 15, it says, and saying, men, why are you doing these things? Because they was wanting to sacrifice to them and call them gods and giving them names of gods, false gods, of course. He says, and saying, men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God who made heaven and earth, the sea and all things that are in them. They're preaching for them to turn from what they're doing, idols, calling people gods, and what they've done in sacrificing to them gods, that they should turn to the Lord God who created all things. Because all things was created by Him and through Him, right? Acts 26, verse 17 and 18. Says here, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. This is Jesus speaking here. To turn those from darkness to light. Is that how your walk with Christ has been? You was walking in darkness. And when you got saved, it's like you turned and you repented of your sins, confessed Jesus as Lord. It's like walking from darkness to light. Doesn't that feel good? From darkness to light is like a polite way of saying, you know, you came from the power of Satan over to the power of God. You're no longer walking in your wannabes, your flesh, whatever you desire, the lust of the flesh, but you're walking in the power of God. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. There's an inheritance that God has set before us as long as we stay focused. And not turn to left or right and turn to useless things. There's also scripture that talks about hearing that voice of God. And He'll say, this is the way, go in it. Don't turn to left or turn to the right. The Holy Spirit leading. When we went to Flagstaff, Arizona with my brother-in-law's retirement ceremony for Air Force, he asked me to open up with prayer, and I got to speak to the people that was there, and he's doing ROCT in college, and so there's like 130 cadets there, and they done it in April. He's actually still there till like August, but so I got to, it was an honor to speak to these college students, and what I felt like the Holy Spirit was leading me to share with them is like, okay, my brother-in-law Brian's in the military. He can't tell us what he's doing, where he's going, his orders. So what we have to do in order to cover him in prayer, we have to listen to the Holy Spirit in how to cover him in prayer. And believe me, there's been times when God has spoken to my wife and had her pray for her brother, certain times of the day or night or whatever. We don't know where he's at. We don't know what he's doing. We don't know what he's involved in. But there's just time that the Holy Spirit will quicken you to cover somebody, to pray for somebody. It may be somebody you know. It may be somebody you don't know. But as the Holy Spirit lives inside of you and you hear the voice of God, don't be surprised. Listen, you know. And that's why I encourage these college students, these cadets, to get to know the voice of the Holy Spirit so they could cover each other in prayer throughout their, you know, their military career. because, you know, I haven't been in the military. You know, Mike Beal here has, Aaron's been in stuff. I mean, there may have been times where God has called you to cover Aaron in prayer. I know God spoke to me to cover him, you know, and it just feels like just a thought, you know, thinking about, you know, my brother Aaron Flores, so I start praying. No, that's just a thought. That's the Holy Spirit encouraging you to cover him. I was going to say something, but I forgot what it was. Just kind of went. Encouraging the cadets. I was encouraging them to listen to the Holy Spirit, to show them. Yeah, and then I shared that about Aaron. That voice, if a thought comes into your mind about somebody, that could be the voice of the Holy Spirit encouraging you to pray for them and cover them. Oh, yeah. Because the military career is not all fun and games and just going to a cubicle. They get in dangerous positions, okay? That's what it was. So if you didn't know that military people get in dangerous positions, you know, in situations, I don't think that's a new revelation, but believe me, they do. And so we need to cover our soldiers in prayer. All right, let's move along. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 16. I'm going to start at verse 14. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because of the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, the veil lies on their heart. Talking about the Jewish people. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty, freedom. Sometimes we think we got freedom by doing what we want. Well, no. This freedom doesn't give you the right to do what you want and to consume things on your own lust. This freedom is freedom in Christ, and He set up boundaries. And if we listen to the Holy Spirit, He will keep us in that boundaries, on that straight path, to where we won't become in bondage again. Because before we turned to Christ, there was a veil over our eyes. And when we come to Christ, that veil is taken away. Right. That's where our country's gone wrong. We need that veil removed from our country's eyes, that our country can turn back to Christ. Philippians 11:19. Philippians 11:19 is confidence in how things will turn out. As we live our life in Christ, listen to Him, we can be confident in how things are going to turn out. You may not see everything between here and there, but the end result is, we get to be with glory with Christ, right? Because in the end, Jesus wins, and we get to win with Him if we stay with Him, right? It's that simple. And at the end of our life, we're going to hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," or we're going to hear, "Depart from me, you sinner, I never knew you." I want to hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Although I don't always do things well, but Jesus is leading me and teaching me, and I'm growing, I'm learning. Doesn't mean I do things well, but God will meet me where I'm at and show me what to do. 2 Timothy 3:5, let's read that. Where'd you go, Timothy? There he is. 2 Timothy 3:5. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Who's he talking about here? Let's start at verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. So one spot it says, do not resist an evil person, turn the other cheek. And from here it's saying, people that do all this will have a form of godliness, but we're to turn away from those. So how's this all supposed to work out? Well, God will show us by the voice of the Holy Spirit. If you got people that's in the church that's doing all this, you know, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, from such people turn away. You know, bad company corrupts good character. You know, it says a lot on our friends and the people we choose to hang around with. You know, there's even laws that even though you didn't do nothing wrong, but if you're with people that does things wrong, there's laws that you'll go down with them. Bad company corrupts good character. From such people, turn away. Second Timothy 4, verse 4, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. You know, people want to hear, people like to hear what they want to hear. They don't want to hear conviction. Start at verse 2. Preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching, long-suffering with patience, teaching. For the time will come when they will endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. They will turn their ears away from truth. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. We need to turn our ears to truth, not turn it away to fables. We have a choice in that. We have a choice in who we listen to and what we listen to. Yes, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. James 3:3. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, but they obey us, that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. You put a bit in a horse's mouth and that, with that bridle, with that bit in there, you pull on the left side, it's going to pull that horse's mouth, and he's going to turn to the left. You pull one on the right, he's going to turn to the right. We can turn animals, you know. Scripture talks about even a small rudder can turn a ship, but man can't control the tongue. So we put bits in horses' mouths to control them. You know, there's a lot of control things that goes on around the mouth. Nose. Like when you stick a fish hook in a mouth, when you set that hook, you can control that fish where it's going to go. When you put a ring in a bull's nose and put a little chain on it, you can lead that big bull anywhere you want to go with that ring in its nose. You know, you put a ring in a hog's nose to keep them from rooting in the ground and rooting under the fence. The ring in the nose is for keeping hogs penned in. It's about control, keeping them penned in, put it in the bull. You can lead that bull where you want it to go. It's about controlling. Putting that bit in a horse's mouth, you control that animal. You can turn it where you want it to go. We need to put a bridle on our tongue and a bit in our mouth to control our tongue. Joel 2, verse 12. Let's look at that. Joel 2, verse 12 says, "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and with mourning." Turn to me with all your heart. That's what God's saying. We have a choice that we can turn to God or turn away from God. We have a choice whether we can turn to His truth or turn away from truth. We can turn our ears to good teaching. We can turn our ears to just whatever we want to hear. Ezekiel 14:6. It says, "Therefore, say to the house of Israel, this says the Lord God, repent, turn away from your idols, and turn your faces away from all your abominations." Jesus wants us to turn away from the idols that get set up in our life by our own choosing. Things that we allow to take time from us. That takes away from God. Turn away from these things. Turn away from idols. Turn to God. You know, God's given us a will. We have our own will. And what you do with your life, what you do with that, has consequences. As you turn to Christ and grow in Him more and more, you will reap the benefits of the kingdom of God. As you turn away from God, you will reap the benefits of destruction, for the wages of sin is death. Pretty simple. It's simple. The gospel's simple, but yet there's things there that God has given us, and where's them lines at? You know, we need to have the voice of God. We need to turn our ears to the voice of the Holy Spirit to know how to react, to know when to react, to know when to not cast our pearls before a swine, to know when not to resist an evil person, to know when it's time to, you know, wipe out the enemy and everything that moves to protect our family. You know, if someone's coming in your house at night, they're not there to do you good. That's pretty simple in that case to, you know, take care of business, right? So I encourage you this day to turn to Christ, because Jesus is King and Jesus wins. If anybody here needs any prayer or anything, the altars are open. You spend time with the Lord there. I'll be happy to meet with you and pray for you.